Well, let us pray to the Lord together. Father God, we thank you for your word, the Bible, and we pray that you will teach us now as we reflect on this great passage from the life of Joseph. Amen. Please do be seated. I've got all sorts of things in the pulpit this morning from the earlier service, so just excuse me while I move them. By the way, this is called Oddbod. He's the latest character added to our collection of puppets found in Colchester. Not the most exotic place to come from, but it is a nice city nonetheless. Is it a city or is it a town?
No,
it's a town. There we go. I'm making it sound more important than it is. Never mind. So we're continuing to look through our series on Genesis, and today we're looking at Genesis chapter 40. It would be helpful if you have that passage open. Well, every month or so I receive an email from CPAS talking about leadership. And it's one of the things that CPS want to focus on. They want to enable clergy to be good leaders. And the emails are full of good advice. They include lots of good tips. And they recommend books with titles such as Leadership the Jesus Way, or one that I quite liked, Seven Things to Avoid as Leaders. Those seven things weren't people, by the way. But as I was pondering this, I was pondering these emails as I was preparing this week's sermon, and just thinking how the life of Joseph could be an example in one of these emails. So throughout this month of August and into September, we're looking at the life and trials of Joseph. If you remember, he starts off as a spoiled child. He goes through 13 years of difficult experiences. And much of what happens to him is intended for evil. But of course we know that God is going to turn it all around for good by the end of the day. We know that Joseph is going to be used powerfully by God. That he's going to become Prime Minister of Egypt, no less. And he is going to save the lives of many Egyptians and indeed the lives of his own family. But before that happens, we're in this dark period of 13 years or so. But even now, we see God's presence with Joseph, and we see God at work in the life of Joseph. And Joseph, in particular, is being prepared by God for the role of leadership. As I say, CPAS could use the life of Joseph as an example. Now don't switch off thinking I'm only going to be talking about leadership this morning and be irrelevant to you. What's going on here is that God is moulding a young man, making him fit for purpose, making him into a holy and godly man. And yes, a holy and godly leader, but this is how God works, and he changes us too, particularly in those dark times, to make us into better people, more godly people, more Christ-like people. So we can learn a lot from this. The thing is that we seem to grow most through the hard times. God is doing that. He's good at taking periods of our life which look as if they should destroy us, but he turns it round and he makes us more like Jesus. If you imagine if Joseph had become leader straight away. He starts off, as you remember, as a spoiled child. It would have been disastrous. He would have been like Donald Trump. Sorry, a bit political there, sorry. But I mean, Joseph was a spoiled child at that time. His father favoured him over all his brothers. He used to love to wind up his brothers, show off before them, lie to try and get them into trouble. So God does not let Joseph jump into leadership. He allows that evil to happen to Joseph. It's not right, the evil, but he uses it to change him, to be a better man of God, ready to lead. So let's look at six lessons that Joseph learns over his 13 years as a slave and as a prisoner in Egypt. Lesson number one is he learns how to resist temptation. This, of course, was the focus of last week. We saw how Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. But Joseph stood firm. He was learning how to resist temptation, and that standing firm cost him. A good leader needs to learn how to hold fast and not to succumb to pressure. A leader will face many temptations to do wrong things, but experience is showing Joseph how to resist temptation, and that will prepare him for when he is a leader. So Potiphar's wife, we know, repeatedly tried to seduce him. Day after day after day, she said, "Come to bed with me." He said no. And when she asked again, he said no again. Joseph stood firm. And if we're to be good people of God, we also must resist temptation. It's why we have that line in the Lord's Prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." During Holiday Club this week, one of the things we heard about was the armour of God. And we have that wonderful picture of the shield of faith. And John Hardwick kind of was using it and holding it up, saying, we use this to field off, defend off the arrows of temptation. It's what Joseph did. So it's important to say no to temptation, to stand firm in faith, even if it costs us, to trust in God and in what he says is the right thing to do. I remember when I was on the Cornhill training course way back in the 90s. The Cornhill training course is a Bible course that helps people develop their preaching skills, but it also enables young people to reflect upon what Christian leadership is all about. And I will never forget a session on day one. David Jackman, the course leader, warned us that if we were thinking about taking on responsibility in the church, we had to beware of temptation. And he said two of the biggest temptations will be sexual immorality and money. Well, the sexual temptation is obvious. We were given practical hints. And for those who are thinking of going into youth ministry in particular, they were said, look, don't ever end up with one of your young girls in the car alone, even if you're kindly dropping off people from lifts. Make sure it's a boy left in the car with you, or have another adult in there with you. And at home too, don't end up being alone at home with a young attractive girl. On the money front, we were warned that there could easily be a temptation to dip your hand in the collection. Try your hardest to let two people in the congregation, not yourself, count it up. Avoid temptation. Let's move on to this week's story and the second lesson that Joseph is learning. He is learning to be a servant. Joseph started off as this spoilt child. He was daddy's favourite. But the experience of being sold as a slave meant he had to start learning how to serve. He did well in Potiphar's house, but then he ended up in prison and he started to serve. And I just wonder if he started doing well, as he started to do well in prison, he was given responsibilities. Maybe he started to be the boss of some of the other people and he could tell them what to do. Well, suddenly these two characters arrive in prison, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And don't let the job descriptions make you think that they were kind of low servants. They were people who had high positions of authority. They were probably advisors to Pharaoh. So they upset Pharaoh, they were sent to prison, but Joseph is told, you are to be their personal servant. Joseph had to learn humility again. He had to learn how to serve. He started off, probably in his father's house, with people serving him. Now he was learning how to serve. And a good leader needs, before they lead, they need to learn how to be humble and to be a servant. if only some of our leaders in government learnt that. But it's a lesson important for every Christian. The night before Jesus died, he washed his disciples' feet. He said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? This is the act of a lowly servant, and you, my friends, are to do likewise." Discipleship is a life of serving others. And of course, the greatest example of the service of Jesus is that he died for us. And he says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So we are to learn how to serve one another. Church life is not about being a consumer. Church life should be about how we can serve one another for the sake of Christ. And it's good to always think about this and just wonder, how can I serve? And lots of you are serving, and I am so grateful to all of you who work hard. But always remember, discipleship is a life of service. The next lesson Joseph is learning is how to be compassionate. And again, remember how he started off. He wasn't compassionate to his brothers. He loved to wind them up. He loved to show off. And yet here we have two people distressed as they wake up. I imagine Joseph was going in to see what they wanted for breakfast as their personal servant. And he sees the chief cupbearer and the chief baker both looking dejected. And he sits down. He doesn't think, "Don't really care, not my problem." He sits down and says, "What's wrong? Can I help?" Again, this is something that I wish all leaders had. It's something God wants for all of us, though, even not as leaders. He wants us as Christians to learn how to be more and more compassionate to each other, to be more loving, to be more helpful. The greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is to love God with everything we have and to love each other as ourselves. The next important lesson that Joseph learns then to be a good leader is to have compassion. So I just wonder, is there anyone you know who you could help, maybe by listening to them if they're going through a difficult time? Is there any way you could serve them in a practical way? There are many ways we can be compassionate. And then the fourth lesson we see Joseph learning is to use the gifts God has given him. It's an obvious gift, isn't it? He can interpret dreams. He's still learning, but we know that next week he is going to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And that is going to do so much good, the saving of many lives. But he's learning and developing that gift now in prison as the cupbearer and the baker explain their dreams to him. The Bible tells us that God gives each and every one of us a gift or gifts, and they're to be used to serve one another with compassion. What's your gift? It could be something straightforward like patience, that you've got time to listen and help somebody through that difficult time. It might be a practical gift like cutting the grass in the churchyard. Yes, we are still looking. Or helping in the kitchen. It could be a musical gift. Whoever you are, know that God has given you a wonderful gift. He would like you to use it. And then maybe I'm pushing this one a bit far, but maybe Joseph is learning to be honest in all things. Again, at the start, he liked to do a bit of slander, a bit of half-lies, if not full lies, against his brothers to get them into trouble with Dad. But here we see him telling the truth. It's easy to tell the truth to the cupbearer. He has a good interpretation. Within 3 days, he'll be restored to a position of high authority and responsibility in Pharaoh's court. It's not good news for the baker, but Joseph doesn't try to get out of it by telling lies. He is honest. I hope he was compassionate in the way he broke the news. But the Bible tells us that we should tell the truth to one another in love. We certainly don't tell the truth by gloating. We tell the truth with compassion so that we can help each other. Let's always be honest. Let's be compassionate as well, and sensitive in the way that we use that honesty. But again, wouldn't it be great? Imagine a government full of MPs who had that servant attitude, who had an attitude of compassion, and who were honest. Wouldn't that be marvellous? Finally, Joseph is learning to endure and trust God always. Joseph is learning that he needs to keep on trusting God, even though it's taking God a long time to act. It's now been 13 years since he's been sold into slavery. That's 13 years after, 2 years after this, because he hopes that the cupbearer, when he gets out of prison, will go straight to Pharaoh and say, "Joseph, a man in prison is in there under false accusations. Please release him." But the cupbearer forgets all about Joseph, and Joseph remains in prison for another 2 years. And Joseph has the promises of God. One day people are going to bow down to you. And he has to keep on trusting God for another 2 years. Sometimes we go through a dark valley, and the light at the end of the tunnel just seems to get further and further away, and we despair. Where are you, God? Well, we can go away this morning knowing that God is with us in the dark valley. His presence was with Joseph in prison. But there will be an end to the dark times. We will get through it. And ultimately, we have the heavenly kingdom to look forward to. So another lesson that we learnt at Holiday Club, one of the memory verses that we sang. Don't get tired of doing good. No. Don't get tired of doing good. For you will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. Galatians 6 verse 9. It's all about endurance. We can be tempted to give up on God, but he promises to be with us, to get us through it. And he does sometimes work to a long time scale. And we wonder, why are you taking so long? And God's reply is, keep on trusting me. You will come through it. I will not let you down. So this morning we've seen six lessons that Joseph learns as God is moulding him in to be a godly leader. And it's quite interesting as we look at Joseph, because he is a model of what Jesus is. Not at the beginning, certainly not, but at the end of it, we see in Joseph somebody who resists temptation, who is a servant, who is compassionate, who uses gifts that God has given him, who is honest in all things, and who endures and trusts God. Jesus came to serve us by dying on the cross. He resisted temptation. He was a servant. He was compassionate to the poor, to the needy. He used those gifts of healing to help people. He is the way and the truth and the life. He's honest in all things. And he is a great example of one who endures. But most of all, he is the servant who dies for us. Well, let's pray that God's Spirit will help mould us to become more and more like Joseph, but more importantly, more like Jesus. So, Father, please work in us through your Holy Spirit. Make us more like the Lord Jesus. Help us to be people who can resist temptation. Help us to be compassionate, loving servants, willing to serve one another, using our gifts and doing it in truth and honesty. And help us to endure in faith. Make us more like Jesus, we pray. And in his name we bring this to you. Amen.